And I've heard, and I'm sure that you've heard as well, that our disease is a disease of want and a disease of more. And my story sort of reads like a Charles Dickens novel. I was born, I'm named Mathis for my father and grandfather, and it's the anglicized version of Matthew, which I'm often called, but I prefer Mathis. And the origin of the name is the Hebrew Midas Yahu, meaning gift to God. So that's where my whole little wanting and more starts. I am the oldest son and the oldest grandson, so I thought I was heir to everything. My abstinence date is April 1st, 2011. And thanks to my higher power and this program, I've released 50 pounds. My blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, and sleep apnea are all improved because of this program. My disposition has been completely overhauled. I am a Marine by vocation, and I have laid aside my John Wayne Green Beret mantra of kill them all and let God sort it out. In the 80s, I was the poster child for success. I was young, strapping, well-educated, good school, graduate school, well-traveled, intelligent, erudite. My stuff didn't stink, and I was a Marine Corps veteran to boot. I had all the eye-catching lingo that you would want on a resume. All-American, bound for success, the exclusive executive boys club, express train to the top. I had it all in spades. And I also knew how to have a good time with the best of them. And then something happened. Reality set in and life started to happen. Didn't like that. I had failed relationships, friendships resolved, my family got distant, and I had a series of difficulties on a string of good jobs. And none of this was my fault. I didn't have anything to contribute to it. That was what I was telling myself. And life wasn't working, and I chose to comfort myself. And the more that life didn't work, the more I dived into comfort and pleasure. It was women's fault that I, super guy, couldn't maintain a relationship. The friends that went away, hey, no problem. I would just get new friends. They're lost. My family, I'm just saying, hey, well, there must be something wrong with them because I got it all together. And on when it came to jobs, bosses, whoever, whatever, were wrong. And not only was I right, I was always right. And they were the ones that were wrong. And this is the delusion that I live in. And that pattern continued to repeat itself. And so I had to continue to try to comfort myself in this reality, or not reality, but in this fantasy world, this illusion that I concocted for myself. My life was off the tracks and the wheel was off the train. And even if I could get the train back on the tracks, I needed the wheels back on. So I was just really out of it. So I dove deeper into my comfort pursuits. Then I stumbled on what I saw as a miracle, and that miracle was food, and lots of food. I learned that I could get comfort from food in my 30s, and man, that was it for me. I may have overeaten earlier in my life, but my military and athletic endeavors may have masked it. But food was great because I didn't have to compromise with anybody else. I didn't have to have anybody's consent. I didn't have to comply with anybody's rules. All I had to do was just buy and eat, and I did do that. And when fast food restaurants began to accept debit cards, woohoo, look out. It was Katie bought a door then, because I didn't have to go by the ATM and I didn't have to carry cash with me. And I hate having change in my pocket, so I didn't have to have change. All I had to do was plop my card down and put the food in, and I was good to go. So, you know, and because I was irresponsible in that good to go debit card thing, I did some irresponsible things like bought the cheapest thing on the menu, didn't make sure I had enough money in the bank, and what should have cost me a dollar or two ended up being 25 or 35 or whatever it was, were those NSF charges. And that did happen more than once. And that's a reality of being dysfunctional. So I have done all of the despicable things mentioned in the big book for food. That includes lying, cheating, stealing, eating spoiled or discarded food. I was once hospitalized for food poisoning because I ate what was one of my favorite foods. And I knew it was bad, but I didn't think I would get sick from it. And that's a high cost to pay to actually have to go and be in the hospital and go through all of that expense and pain for them to see what's wrong with you because of food. But I did it. That again shows you how far I was gone. OA, I was originally introduced to OA with a friend, probably back in the late 70s, early 80s. And the meeting didn't make sense to either of us. We didn't go back. Later on, I comforted my stress in law school with food. And New Orleans is the greatest place on the face of the earth to overeat. I gained 50 pounds in just a few months. I mean, I was packing it on every day. Before I overate, or before I became aware of my overeating, I would soothe my restlessness, my irritable, and my discontentness with dishonesty. I would just make up stuff. And I would simply say that I had, did, or was something that wasn't true. And when the truth caught up with me, I had the means to relocate to another city, so that's what I did. I moved from Dallas to Houston, boom, clean slate, whole nother group of people I can start prevaricating and lying to and telling these make-believe fairy tales to. And I did that. And so the whole thing repeated itself, and then I, Greyhound therapy again, moved to another city. You know, I'm young, I could do that. Another part of my disease was my thirst for compliments and acknowledgement. Anytime I was working a place and they said, Mathis, and good job, I was high for weeks. I'd go through a brick wall for praise. And I'd get there first, I'd work harder, and I'd stay later than everybody else because I thought that was my ticket to the top. And I was always, it was always about me, 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 self, 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 and you know, my pats on the back. Well, thank goodness that God was watching and God had a plan for me. And rather than allow me to just be out of control into nothingness, God stepped in 2005. I had a heart attack in May of 2005 and a second heart attack in June of 2005. So that slowed me down, but I had kids and they were going to college or getting ready to go to college. And plus I identified with my work as being me and my success. So I prevailed in my fight with the doctors to let me go back to work in September. In October, I had a third heart attack. So work and I were done. That was it. And there was no amount of convincing or cajoling or anything I could do with the doctors to allow me to go back to work. So I did what I knew to do, which was still, we're talking self-will here, self-propulsion. I said, okay, I'm going to get back in. I'm going to get in shape. So I was going to the spa early in the morning because I wanted to do this early and get it out of the way and do other things. And I was reintroduced to OA by this guy who creeped me out of the gym because there's hundreds of machines here. And he gets at the machine next to me. And my first reaction is, I want to punch this guy's lights out. Why don't you go somewhere else and work out? But he talked to me about being healthy and not having to exercise at some ungodly hour in the morning. So I listened to him and I said, okay, you know what, I'll give it a shot, you know, just to get you to stop talking to me. And I consider that man just the best of friends today and that God sent him to me. But I still wasn't quite ready yet. I treated OA like a class. I read all the literature. I went to meetings, but I didn't listen. I was thought myself as being better than those people in the meetings. I knew what to do to lose weight, what to eat, and what kind of exercise to do. I said, you know, hey, I'm strong, I'm smart, and whatever those people in the meeting had, I didn't want, because I wasn't paying attention. I was still sort of stuck on that mean train. I did lose some weight and was able to get to go back to work. And life got good and program out the window. But God wasn't finished with me yet. He knew I had a hard head and he needed to work with me. He still had a plan for me. And a routine medical exam revealed that I had cancer and needed to lose weight to have the robotic surgery. Also, my diabetes, my blood pressure, my cholesterol, and my sleep apnea were at their worst. And it was at a point to where even though I was doing the things, the work things to get all these accolades that I craved, there were days that I just couldn't work. And it got to the point to where they told me they loved my work and they wanted me to be there. But if I missed another day, somebody in the human resources office, not only was I going to have to face some kind of discipline, but somebody in human resource office was going to have to face it as well for covering for me that for that long. And we agreed that I would go on family leave, and I did that. And I went, since I knew I needed to lose weight, I went back to OA. And the third time, I'm thinking the third time would be a charm. At this point, life had, you know, really, you know, it did what it does to you. And I was fed up with all of the hurt that I was dishing out, all of the pain that I was, not only the hurt that I was dishing out, but the hurt that I was feeling, the pain I was dishing out and the pain that I was feeling, the carnage and the dysfunction in my wake and in my life. You know, it was just painful to look back on it. And I bought, not only did I have that for myself, but I bought that to the lives of other people around me. And that mountain of dishonesty was so high that there was just no covering it up. You know, I had to come clean. So I had two choices before me. I could choose recovery and life or insanity and death. So I chose the former. I chose life.
3 minutes.
And this time I was trying to do the program as the program was laid before me. Now, step one was tough because it said we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. The unmanageable part I got, I could do that. Yes, a blind person could see my life was unmanageable, but the powerlessness was hard for me, an alpha male, to swallow. I was, you know, all that leadership stuff, all that success stuff, that was my Bible and my chapter and verse. If it was going to be done, I could do it. All it took was effort and attitude and it would get done. And yeah, but I was still on the wrong track. I was on the wrong track when I was doing it. I was trying to do the right thing, but I was on the wrong track to make it happen. Step five was tough for me because admitting to God, ourselves, and another human being, me, admit that I was wrong. Yeah, couldn't do that. And God hadn't played a big part in my life. So, because I was smarter than God, I knew better than God, I knew what to do. Good. So that was just sort of, and step 10, again, admitting that I was wrong. So I surrendered. It wasn't perfect surrender, and it's ongoing. And until I admit, I can't accept. Until I accept, I can't recover. And to admit, I have to communicate. And the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the pridefulness, that's out. The party equals food equals party, festive and happiness, that's out. So my success being coming from, I had to have success to have joy and peace and acceptance, happiness, that's out. My disease started from my deception rooted in selfishness and self-centeredness and pridefulness. I no longer do that anymore. If happiness was the goal, I used to say it by any means necessary, as long as, you know, I'd be happy, and I'm done with that. So I'm no longer restless, irritable, and discontent. I am happy, joyous, and free. I work the program as it's been given to me. And I love, even though I struggled against it, I love what this program has made me into and what it continues to make me into. And what I say to anybody in this program, open yourself up to it, keep coming back, do the program on the program's terms. Don't come to OA and say, I'm going to make this Mathis's OA. It's not Mathis's OA. It's not any, it doesn't, recovery belongs to all of us, and it's a way to do it. And selfishness, well, being unselfish and honesty are the two keys that I find that make things work for me. Thank you. I'm Mathis, a compulsive overeater, and I pass.